Good morning, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is WILF's wake-up call. WILF meaning the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We are here this morning with our guests, some workers from the Moncure Plywood Plant in Chatham County, about 30 miles from here. This is a human rights and labor issue right in our own backyard, and unfortunately a lot of people still don't know about it, although it has been in the News and Observer. It was on Channel 5 a few days ago, and in the Independent last week. We have workers here with us as our guests today that were here some months ago and are here to give us a update on what is happening. They are in their fifth month, the 152nd day of their strike. Our guests today, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. These are three. We're fortunate to have three of the workers. And we'll start with Alan Moore, the vice president of the local union. Alan, want to introduce yourself?
Good morning. I'm Alan Moore. I'm the vice president of the International Machinist, IAM, Moncure, North Carolina, 369. And the union have been at our place of establishment for over 40 years.
Hello, good morning. My name is William Harrington, and I'm a trustee of the local union.
Good morning. My name is Chester Stacker. And I'm a union worker at the Moncure Plywood Local 369.
Okay, since some of our listeners may not have heard our previous program or still don't know or understand about the strike, we're going to go back to the beginning. Let's start with, tell us where Moncure Plywood Plant is.
Well, Moncure Plywood Plant is about 10 miles east of Pittsboro.
Okay.
North Carolina.
Okay. And I know it vaguely what plywood is, but you know, what do you make there? What kind of plywood and what?
Well, we're a hardwood plant. We make anything from 5/8 to 7/8. And it basically what keeps us in business is the furniture companies.
Okay. So you make high grade plywood.
Yes.
And I would imagine that takes a fair amount of skill.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And how long has the plant been open? Maybe Chester, you could answer that.
The plant had been open approximately about 40 years. Okay. That's about how long we've been had a union at that plant up until this point.
So the union has been been a long-term thing. The plant opened, I think, maybe 41 or 42 years ago, really?
Yes.
And the union's been there 39 or 40 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Alan, how long have you worked there?
I've worked there as the 8th of December, marked my 38th year.
38 years.
38
you were too
years.
Young to have worked there 38
Thank
years.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And William, how about you? How long have you
worked? I want to say approximately 35 years.
These are long-time skilled workers. Chester?
I've been there approximately 34 years.
34 years. So you all have been there almost since the plant's beginning.
Yes.
And I understand that that until 05, there's been, I think, three or four or five. This is, I think, the fifth owner, the ones who came in 05 and were the present owners. But with the change of owners, how do relations go with the...
Well, the relationship has really been down since Atlas Holding have bought the Moncure Plywood Plant.
But before that, I understand.
The rapport was real great with the employees. You know, we had to just, the relationship was immaculate.
Well, that says something that for all those years, through several owners, everything went very, very well.
Yes.
And then in 05, there was a new owner. What's the new owner? Who is that?
Well, they are from Greenwich, Connecticut. Andrew Bursky is the chief executive, and Timothy Fazio, he's the managing person. and then Richard Yarbrough, I think he's one of the CEOs as well. And so, you know, it just, the rapport has been terrible since they've been managing our place where we're working at.
Yeah. So and I think is it Atlas Holding?
It's Atlas Holding.
The company in Connecticut, and then they have local management.
Yes.
So what's been happening since 05? What has been going down? What are some of the things that have happened?
Well, initially, you know, after 14 days of trying to reach an agreement in our negotiation with them, our last negotiation was the 15th of July. And the company gave us a final proposal, take or leave it. And on the 20th of July, you know, we assembled together and we just had a march out. We refused to go back in on the condition that they wanted us to work under.
Okay, so what was that take it or leave it proposal? What was that that was so significant that you couldn't take it?
Well, they wanted to impose a relative clause in our seniority contract, and that meant that, you know, in the event that a job would go on the board for bid, they wanted to have the freedom to choose and pick who they wanted to go into that particular position rather than honoring our contract based on seniority. And we said no to that.
Okay.
And they wanted to impose a 60-hour work week, which, you know, would not give you not even one day off to spend with your family.
60 hours.
60-hour work week.
That, I think, has been a shock to many people who maybe aren't even pro-union, because NPR, National Public Radio, had a program on. It was on at noontime yesterday and yesterday evening, not just about Moncur and the issue that you guys are facing, but about labor issues in general and how labor has been so weakened over the last several years. But now the hope that with Obama and a new administration,
yes,
and with the current economic horrible meltdown, that just like in the 30s, that labor, that's when labor, in spite of things being so tough, that's when labor had its greatest growth and resurgence, because times were so desperate, people were willing to stand up and fight for worker rights. And the hope is, from at least one of the people on this panel on National Public Radio, that this might be a time also that people are that labor and workers, they've been so pushed down and so many of their rights taken away, and that this is a time for a great resurgence for labor issues. But you're right at the beginning of it. You're like one of the point people. And So you're doing what's, you know, because this is, that's what some people think. In these tough times, why are you on strike? But you can, Chester, why are you on strike? Alan told a little bit about the issues. Can you tell us too?
Yes, I'm on there pretty much for the same reason that Alan spoke on. I'm on strike to fight for not have my seniority taken away from me, not for my hours to be raised to 6-hour work week, because I like having time being all to my family. And I'm also on strike because I just don't like the fact the way whenever they brought in Jeff Matusak and Ernie Polony, and they just start talking to us and treating us like we were nothing. And them days is gone with me, so that's why I'm out there on strike.
So part of it was also the issue of dignity.
Yes,
that the way you were talked to, the way you were treated,
yes,
that was working, leading
absolutely
up to the strike, was demeaning. And treating you like we're back, what, in slavery times?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I just want to mention here some of the other things, too, that we want to be sure people understand. Not only one of the main things was demeaning treatment and erosion of your contract in terms of seniority and how you're assigned work, the 60-hour mandatory work week, but also prohibitive increases of 300% to 400% in workers' health premiums. And I know everybody's health premiums may be going up, but they usually go up little by little, not 300% to 400%, so that you can't afford health care.
Yes.
Yes.
And the other thing is a cut in pension benefits, And then the big thing that you mentioned, an end to other agreements the union has negotiated over the past 40 years.
Yes.
Since African Americans organized the union and then got Latino and white workers to join. So that, how many workers were in the plant?
Well, it
or you, when you were there, how many workers did the plant usually have?
Oh, right at 200.
And how many were in the union?
It was approximately about 100 and probably 120.
More than half had
yes.
joined the union, even in this state, and which is not pro-union. It's a right-to-work state. It's one of the harshest states, I think. I think there's only one other state that has as many harsh anti-labor laws than any other state in the union, and this whole country has not been exactly helpful to workers. So it's just amazing to me that here in a corner of Chatham County, you all got a union in. Was it hard to get in back then?
Well, not really. It wasn't hard to get in. You know, the competition wasn't as great 35, 40 years ago.
Yes.
As it is now.
They needed some skilled workers then. And that was a time in the 60s when there was a lot of good things going on in
yes.
terms of people standing up for all kinds of rights.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, what, while you're in strike and what led up to it, could each of you tell us a little bit more so we have a sense, and we want to get William in this conversation too, you know, what you actually do in the plant? Because I think working in a plywood plant, a lot of people these days work in offices, and I wonder if they have any idea what your work is like. William.
Yes, the environment sometimes can be horrible, especially in the summertime. The area where I work at, I have two presses behind me, and each one of them is the degrees range from 300 to 330. So, you know, if you combine that, you're talking about like maybe 700 degrees that are circulating around.
Wow.
Plus, the area we work in was congested. We didn't have much room to work around. And since the new management have taken over, they wasn't as much concerned about safety, nor were they concerned about people's way of being altogether, because we didn't keep the machines and things as clean as we did to previous owners. The previous owners there, we would clean those machines up every weekend. We took pride in making sure that they were clean, they were operating properly. And they did whatever they could, you know, to sustain the environment. When this company took over, we've had people to fall out because it get too hot. And that was proof that, you know, that changes have taken place. In the previous we worked there, we never had that kind of problem. So the environment became much more stressful, too, working under management that really had no concern about the people and the input, because we could have turned the mill around, provided they would be willing to listen and,
yeah.
you know, do the kind of things we knew that we could do to make it a profitable place.
So that safety, really, it's not the main issue you went on strike, but it's one of the issues that led up the carelessness and lack of concern about safety in an environment where this heat and what I'm sure, like cutting the plywood, so you're using all kinds of dangerous machinery.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so what did you specifically do there?
I was a coil air, coil feeder. I've also worked as a utility person who, you know, breaking other people's out on the machines.
Okay. So a lot with the machinery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chester, we're going to go to you now. Just what was, so people understand work in a plywood plant and understand how important it is that you have management that pays attention to safety and treats you that the way that you need to be treated in a very harsh environment. Can you tell us specifically what your kind of work was there?
Yes, I worked on the dry end of the plywood mill, and I'm pretty much a lead person over certain departments. And the environment was good before we went out on strike, but then since these people had come in and took over, they had try to run this plant with less people, where you used to have four people to do a job, they want three people to try to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's unhealthy, unsafe for anybody. Yes. With the mm-hmm. amount of work and material that we had to ship out of the plant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So it's becoming clearer and clearer, I hope, to our listeners why what led up to this strike, even though in economic times like this, it is not the easiest or maybe the most opportune time to be on strike, but that it became intolerable for you there. And Alan, and all of you have been there a long time, so I know you all were really skilled at what these machines and, yes. and how to operate this plant efficiently and safely. Alan, can you tell us specifically what you did there, what your work was
well,
like?
Well, I ran what you call the curtain coder. You know, that's what made diverse types
of... what?
The curtain coder.
Okay.
This was a large machine that
yes.
sat out in the middle of the floor of the,
okay.
of the plywood plant.
Yeah.
And that's where we made the various types of panels.
Okay.
You know, from 5/8 to occasionally, you know, we made some 1/2 inch. But basically, you know, what really keeps us in business is the 7/8. That's what the furniture company mostly buys.
And that's what I know going out there and talking with you on the people on the picket line, I was struck by how much pride
oh, yes.
people took in the work and the quality of the product that you were putting out. That really hit my heart, you know, yeah. that kind of pride in your work.
Yeah.
I've got to take a little station break now to let people know who we are and where we're coming from here. We are the Wilp Wake Up Call, and we are sponsored by the Triangle Wilp, and Wilp stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And also we have a sponsor, Internationalist Books, on 405 West Franklin Street. And Internationalist Books is a community institution and a community resource that has been there through thick and thin for I'm not sure how many years, 30 years or more? And it's a wonderful place to go. They have a lot of books you'll not find in the big box bookstores. A lot of books about the issues that are really important, just progressive issues and political issues. But they'll also order any book that you want. So we're also on Community Radio Co-op, WCOM-LP, that goes to Chapel Hill and Carrboro. And it's volunteer run, and we are volunteers, and we're so happy to be here and to have our Wilp Wake Up Call program. Okay, back to our issues here. So tell me a little bit, because unions for a lot of people are kind of a scary word. They don't quite know. They hear about it, but they're not quite sure what it's all about. So why did you all join a union? What did a union offer you that you joined it in this state, which there's not a whole lot of unions?
Well, basically, you know, a lot of people are not aware, but companies really do not have to even give you a break. You know, they can just really work you, or maybe just give you just maybe a little snack break, but you don't really have to have a lunch break, you know, without the union.
You're kidding.
You know, a lot of breaks
wow.
that we get, you know, you wouldn't be able to get without the use of a union.
All right.
And as far as your benefits and then, you know, your treatment. For a typical example, we had one employee on our job that was terminated because he refused to work, and he was sick. And it just so happened that this particular individual so happened to have been a Marine. Even the labor board said that they would take part in this investment and working with this individual, because Marines are taught to endure hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And when this person stated that he was sick, you know, he had a bad cold and he didn't feel like working over, one of the supervisors terminated him.
He didn't feel like working overtime.
He didn't feel like working overtime.
Right, and this is with these new employees since 05.
Yeah. Employers, yeah, the managers.
Managers since 05.
Yeah, this is some of the problem that we're having.
Yeah, and so he was terminated. And were you able to get him reinstated?
Well, we're still working on that now, but we think we will prevail. In this particular...
Okay, but that's why it's so important to have a union. You have people to work for you.
A union.
Yeah, okay.
And plus, Laura, they was in violation of their contract, and that's why it's important to have a union, because you have policy and steps to go by by being part of a union. But if you're not a part of a union, if you does one little thing, say like for being out sick, and you come back the next day, they got a right to fire you. But with a union, you still have your job there, and the union will fight for you in a situation like that.
Most definitely.
So I think it's really important for our listeners to realize how important it is that you're not a lone person when you're being mistreated at work, that you have the union to stand up for you and other people to organize and have people who are skilled at negotiating and standing up for you, and the union gives you the right to talk to the employer and try to work out any problems and conflicts. Okay, so this is being on strike. How do you survive? Do you get some strike pay?
Yes, we get a strike check of $150 a week. And we've been out there, like we said, for 5 months. And even that little bit with today's economy, with all our motion, our bills, our backs are pretty much up against the wall. But thanks to a lot of good folks and support, we are still hanging in there, and we are planning on not going anywhere until we get to what we want.
Yeah. Good for you. So $150 a week, and if you're on strike for a few weeks, you can make it. But I bet the bills are mounting up for everybody. Yeah. That, you know, that's a real hard thing. And my hat's off to you for your courage and sticking to what's right and standing up for it. And you talked about support, and I know that there are some of us who've been trying to be a support group. Faith, Labor, and Community Solidarity Rally. We're all working on with you guys for this Saturday, and I'm hoping all of our listeners will come. It's not going to be in Moncure, because a lot of people might not want to go quite that far. So it's a lot closer. It's going to be in our neighboring town of Pittsboro. Pittsboro is just about a 15-20 minute drive down 15501, and it's a charming town, and it has a courthouse, and the rally is going to be in that circle around the courthouse right in the middle of downtown. Yes. This Saturday, December 20th at noontime at the courthouse in Pittsboro, right on 15501. And we're inviting anybody who's listening, if you care at all about justice and justice in the state of North Carolina, to please come out. It takes an hour or two of your time. And you can bring food or toys or money is always good.
Yes.
But the main thing, bring your body so that we all can see that there are people in North Carolina, in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and in Pittsboro and Moncure, who will stand up for justice for workers. And what are you all doing to get ready for the rally? About how many of you do you think will be there? William, you want to talk to this?
Well, we're going to do all that we can to get as many people there. We will communicate on the line to make sure everybody knows that the rally is going to take place, and also, you know, distribute information to the public at large.
Okay, so there's going to be a good turnout of the strikers, and we're trying to get a good turnout of community people. If you can't come to the rally, and a lot of people at Christmas time, I know, are busy, here's what you can do to bring justice or help bring justice to the Moncure workers, who are our neighbors and our friends. You can call Moncure CEO Richard Yarborough at 360-432-5004. Richard Yarborough, an Atlas Holding owner. This is the folks back in Connecticut who are the big guys. The owner and investment banker. Tim Fazio. F-A-Z-I-O, Tim Fazio, at 203-622-6000. 0207. You can make those calls and let them know how you feel about the injustice that's happening to our friends and neighbors, and that we want them to negotiate a fair contract for these workers who are suffering. And we also could ask you, if you can't come to the rally and care about justice in our own neighborhood, send contributions to the workers who are deeply in debt and struggling to meet mortgage payments, the electricity, water, and food bills. Make your checks payable. If you have a pencil, get this down, please. IAM Local Lodge 369. And then mail that to IAM at Post Office Box 318, Moncure, North Carolina, 27559. Come to the rally. And some of us have been coming to the picket line, trying to come each week just to show support, because it's out on a country road where they're on strike 24/7. That's the other thing we didn't mention. 24/7 means day and night.
Yes.
Around the clock. 7 days a week, rain, cold, heat. We've been out there when the mosquitoes were terrible in the heat. And, okay, so we're getting ready to wrap up. Is there any last thing that you, did you say 4 minutes? Okay, great, we got a little time. Anything you want to say as we're wrapping up about this to our listeners?
Yes,
this is Chester.
Yes, it's extremely important that on tomorrow at this rally that we have as many people we can for support. I went to a convention a week ago, and we had over 2,000 people there. And I was there lobbying for a lot of little people to come and support us at this rally with food, money, or whatever. And we really will appreciate it.
Thank you, Chester. William and Alan, any last thing that you all want to say?
Well, yes.
This is Alan.
We're looking for our president, called our international president, Tom Buchenbaugh, and hopefully he will have someone to come if he himself cannot come. So we need more representative support from our international. Now we know we're getting our strike fund. We know that they have sent some money from a convention that they attended a few weeks ago, probably 8 or 9 weeks ago, and that money certainly was needed. But we need more support from our international leaders at this time. And that's the question that's frequently been asked us. And I want to just send a shout out to my bishop that started it out, with over $5,500 when we initially started the strike, Bishop Richard K. Thompson, and our presiding elder, in the person of Dr. L.A. Miller, and other surrounding churches that given their support. We're going to thank them for their moral support. But, the need now is monetary.
So money is more important than anything else because of these mounting bills, not wanting to go into foreclosure, which we hear so much about these days. We want to prevent it for these workers. And the head of the union, the national head of the internet, may come to this rally.
Well, hopefully.
We'll send somebody. Yes. That would be wonderful. William, just last few words from you. You think it's all been said? You want to say one little thing?
I think it's all been said.
Okay. So come to the rally. Some of us belong to the community church here in Chapel Hill, and we've been trying to have a support group go out every week, and people are so isolated down in that picket line. So anything you can do like that to show support. Okay, well, just want to wrap up and say that this is Wolf's wake-up call. We've had with us today workers who've been on strike, workers from the Moncure Plywood Plant, our neighbors and friends who are in the fifth month of their strike, standing out there in rain and mud and all kinds of conditions, who are suffering and need our support. We are coming to you from WCOMLP, Chapel Hill in Carrboro, and sponsored by the Internationalist Books. So I guess, pardon? We're in the 26th week of... Join us next week when we go out to the picket line. That's another thing you can do. But the main thing, come to the rally tomorrow, noontime, December 20th, Saturday, in downtown Pittsburgh, around the courthouse. There's parking in Pittsburgh on the streets and a parking lot behind the courthouse. Come and join us, and if you can, send contributions. Thank you.